Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome to the show. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And we're back for another awesome episode. Don't forget the back catalog always available to you. BeerArmy.org. Click on the radio tab. You can find us on iTunes. We're on Patreon, Stitcher. A lot of avenues to take us with you.
Speaking of Patreon, if you're not a Super Soldier member, definitely check it out. Patreon.com. That's patreon.com/BeerArmy. Go on there, pledge your support, pick a level, get some great stuff in exchange. And don't forget, your pledge is tax deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit.
Yeah. And if you pledge last year, that can be put on this year's taxes.
That's right. We send you a little receipt at the end of the year so you can expense it right off and you know, stick it to the man. Yeah.
tax day's coming. I'm dreading that. Yeah, good Lord.
God, man. But Beer Army Beer Week, baby. We put that sucker in the books. You know, this is our first year kind of making more of a community event. Five different breweries that were involved, as well as five different locations downtown New Bern. And it was really exciting. It was really cool. I think everybody had a really good time. I saw a lot of people, well, for all the events, but definitely that Friday night with the Beer Army Pub Maneuvers, which is a classic American pub crawl. But we did it in a way where you kind of do it with your own friends, your own groups, and then you have these passports that you had to get punched or stamped or. And saw a lot of people running around like, I got to get my, you know. And then, of course, the Can Jam the next day where we had six different Carolina breweries featured that were offered in cans only. And we had a little bit of a slow start, I'd say from noon to one. And then it's really kind of kicked off. I think a lot of people are still recovering from Beer Army Pub Maneuvers the night before.
Probably.
I know House Mouse Scott didn't, he didn't wrap up until about 3:30, 3:40, as in 0:30, 0:340.
Sunday morning?
Saturday morning, right. You know, and then he had to roll over and prepare for Can Jam, you know. And so I know he was a little bit of a hurting unit because I could just sense it. I almost wanted to tell him to suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I caught up with him at Prohibition on Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah.
At the North Carolina Tap Takeover.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, they had a great. It was a good, really cool event. We want to give a shout out to the people that helped make a lot of that possible, and big shout out to ViaMark, Mark Story and ViaMark Advertising, all over media. And then, of course, Channel 7 WITN and, of course, Bob 93.3 for all being supporters of that event and getting behind it and really pushing it. And we're really looking forward to sitting down with the county and the city of, Craven County and city of New Bern and really focus on this next year and really blowing it up and making it a bigger event and getting more of the community involved, I guess, is where I'm looking to go with that. And just really making it a big, I thought it was very successful this year. This is our third year, but in the first 2 years, it was more this Beer Army specific, you know, whether it was our brewery or whether it was our beer bar bottle shop. This is the first time when actually neither one was included, and it really was just a community event. And I think it has a lot of potential, and really looking forward to see where it goes. And then, of course, having Easter buttoned up against that, that made it interesting, because everybody's making Easter preparations, but
I know the Can Jam.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why, Jim Kohler and Brian Mayer and Hot Butter Grits for coming out and supporting it with Easter the next day. You know, I'm sure those guys had family and friends and other plans too, but, you know, to come out and support it, we appreciate it because without them, it would have been, I don't know, maybe not as fun when there's no music. But it was really cool how it just ebbed and flowed and there was kids running around and just like a true European beer garden feeling going to, and the weather was just awesome. Weather was beautiful. And so, we couldn't ask for a better day for it as we rolled into Easter. And of course, Easter was great too. And, I'm glad you were able to come over and
it was awesome.
Participate in some chow.
Yeah. Had some great food, had some awesome, awesome beer. And
it wasn't food in a bag.
What are you saying?
It wasn't semi-prepared. It wasn't, your local burrito out of the microwave.
Yeah, no, it wasn't food truck fare. Although there are some good food trucks out there.
But, the beer, speaking of beer. We always thank the Beer Army Outpost for supplying us our beer. If you never checked them out, 1244 U.S. Highway 70 East in New Bern, North Carolina, over 700 brands on the shelves. However, we can't thank them for this beer.
I was going to say.
We gave a shout out, or actually we called out Matt Smith Beer Army soldier. Again, not super soldier, but just Beer Army soldier. And it's because of him being the psychotic beer trader that he is. He hooked us up with some Russian River Brewing Company's Pliny the Elder and Russian River Brewing Company out of Santa Rosa, California. If you don't know where that's at, that's just north or a little, not just north, but a little bit of ways away from San Fran, but just north of that. And Pliny the Elder, which is a double IPA, clocking it at 8% ABV. And you can't get that here in North Carolina. So
delicious,
you know, but
yeah, big thanks to Matt. He is a great guy to
we'll make him an honorary super soldier member.
He was telling me the other day, he's like, I try to give Dustin my money and he keeps sending me to Patreon.
You got to go to Patreon. That's the only way it works.
That's how you you get in on the action.
But
I'll take your money. But
we got a little outtake here real quick that kind of sums up that I want you to listen to. So check it out.
And who is the creator of this master brew?
Vinny.
Talk about Vinny.
Vinny Chilurzo, who hails from a winemaking family but has always had a love for beer, is credited with the creation of the double and triple IPAs. His passion is quality, not quantity, and he strives not to be the biggest brewer, but make the best beer possible.
Vinny Chilurzo, Russian River Brewing Company. We're at our production brewery right now in Santa Rosa. It's about 1 mile from our brew pub. Here at the production brewery, we have a 50-barrel brew house that makes about 1,550 gallons per batch of beer. We do most of our big batch for distribution out of here, whereas all the beer that we brew at our pub is mostly served over the bar at the pub. Behind me is our barrel room. The room has about 450, maybe 500 wine barrels in it. Actually, a lot more barrels than some small wineries have here in the area.
So yeah, so that was just a Vinny was talking about the brewery. I found that video. We'll definitely link to it so you can watch the full 12 minutes if you want, talking about Pliny the Elder and just an overview of Russian Brewing Company. But you know, I've had this beer before, and in the past I've had it more orangish, copperish. But this one that we have that we poured out of a bottle here is pouring a nice golden color with a clear body, and definitely with some nice thick white head and good solid lacing forming on the glass.
How long did you sit on those bottles that were orange or coppery?
No, well, I had them when I was on the West Coast, so it was out of draft, wasn't out of bottles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is, but I mean, I've had this beer many times, but I've had it before where it was like an orangish copperish, but this one that we're drinking right now is more of a golden color.
Yeah.
So you definitely pick up the strong aroma. There's lots of citrus and grapefruit, pine. There are some floral notes in there too. I pick up just a touch of some tropical stuff, tropical fruits in there as well.
Official terminology.
Stuff, yeah. Is that on the ingredient list? Stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's right here.
I would say the flavor is the same with fresh hops that screams citrus, pine, and then have like this floral bouquet. I definitely get more fruitiness on the end with the finish. The thing I do like about this beer is, even though it's a double IPA, there's no harsh, bitter finish, which I think is just friggin' awesome. And I would say there's a nice balance between the malt and the hops on it. The body's medium with some dryness on the palate. I love the carbonation on this beer, which I think the carbonation is key in helping you get some of the flavor and the aromas off there, because it allows the nucleation to explode on the surface and just get that aroma in that glass and into those phenols into your nose cavity, and which is important. I need to develop a better vocabulary talking about this beer overall. Well, it's a great beer. I don't feel like I'm doing it justice talking about it right now, but
it's reintroduction. I say reintroduction. It's reintroduction after you swallow.
Yeah.
Maybe if you take a big gulp. I guess official terminology would be burp.
Burp.
But it's reintroduction.
Reintroduction.
Is very flavorful.
It is. It's awesome. And Vinny named this beer after a Roman military commander turned writer who was born in 23 AD. So he got to witness the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I don't know why I threw that tidbit out there, but and gained notoriety for having authored Historia Naturalis, a 37-volume compilation of scientific knowledge spanning a variety of subjects, including horticulture and botany. It is there that it's believed that Pliny is believed to be the first ever reference to hops when he wrote about it. He named it Lupus Selectorius, which loosely means a wolf among scrubs.
Nice.
And then in 79 AD, he died an untimely death due to Mount Vesuvius eruption and exposure from the toxic fumes. But thanks to his nephew, Pliny the Younger, He continued the legacy by recording the events of that fateful day. And for those that don't know it, there is a beer that they produce only 2 weeks out of the year called Pliny the Younger, which is a triple.
And that's you can only get that if you take you need it to with know somebody, you in a growler, right?
Yeah, you need to know somebody on bottled. The West Coast. But and then Russian River Brewing Company was originally owned by Corbel Champagne Cellars in Gurneyville, California. It was founded on the historic property among the vineyards and redwoods near the Russian River. They decided to get out of the beer business in 2003 and offered it to now owners Vinny and Natalie Terluzzo. Why do I always slaughter his last
Terluzzo.
Name? I know. I can't. I apologize, Vinny and Natalie. I don't mean to slaughter your last name. But Vinny grew up in a winemaking family in Temecula, California, where his parents owned a family vineyard. And by the time he was 18, he taught himself to homebrew in the basement of the winery. And in 94, Vinny, with some partners, opened Blind Pig Brewing Company in Temecula, California. He was the co-owner in that for about 3 years, and during that time won awards at GABF. And that's where he's credited with coming up with the double IPA.
Awesome.
Or the godfather of the double IPA.
Thank you for that, Vinny.
In 1994. In 97, Vinny and his wife moved to Sonoma County, where he took the job as head brewer at Russian River when Corbel owned it. And then fast forward a decade, and Vinny has done it all, from being the sales and delivery guy to building a small second brewery and opening it for about a year. And then, of course, he's also credited with developing the double and triple IPA styles. So, you know, in April 2004, though, they relaunched Russian River as a brew pub in downtown Santa Rosa with great success. And in 2008, they opened a production brewery about a mile away from the brew pub, allowing them to triple production. They currently have just south of 100 employees among their two locations and crank out approximately 3,000 beer barrels on a 20-barrel brew house at the brew pub. And I think, I was trying to find some hard facts, statistics, I believe they're doing about 14,000 beer barrels from their new 50 beer barrel. Can you imagine a 50,000 barrel brew house? Yeah.
They're rivaling Sam Adams.
Oh my gosh. You know, 50 barrel brew house at their production brewery. And we don't even need to talk about how many awards they've won to date, as you can just peruse the list for yourself on their website. And you can go definitely check them out at RussianRiverBrewing.com. That's RussianRiverBrewing.com. And I mean, this is just one of many great beers they do.
Well, at their capacity, I'm sure they're only distributed statewide, right?
I think they're in like 5 states or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good,
they
good.
Did. When they expanded their production, I allowed them to go in a couple more states. But I met Vinny, I want to say it was three years ago at the Craft Brewers Conference. And very humble guy, you know, definitely not flamboyant or anything like that. And he definitely comes across the type of guy is he could give a shit about how many states he's in. He cares more about quality than quantity.
Yeah.
He doesn't allow it to dictate or define him. That shit, they don't even do projections. You know, most companies will project.
Right.
Like, they don't
right.
even do that. It's just, it is what it is. And he wants to focus more on making the beer better, you know?
So. Well, in having to do more of a mass distributing, he would probably have to nail down some projections.
Yeah,
which,
I'm sure.
Yeah. But the if you can get this beer, do it. If you want to get into beer trading, get on Beer Advocate and just start. It's an interesting journey because you can really find and taste some delicious beers. And this is one you should to really try to get your hands on.
I know this beer gets a lot of hype, but I do think it's a beer that deserves its hype. I really do. It's a great beer. I think if you can get your hands on it, I would definitely overpay to at least try it. But yeah.
Well, as it says on the bottle real quick, respect your elder, keep cold, drink fresh, do not age. Pliny the Elder is a historical figure. Don't make the beer inside this bottle one. you must sit on eggs, not on Pliny.
Awesome.
It's Pliny the Elder, Russian River Brewing Company. Delicious beer. Get more information on it on beerarmy.org. Stick around. We do have our Heroes Never Die segment coming up. We've got an awesome story in which to share, highlighting an awesome deed from...
We got some more firefighters in the mix.
Nice.
So.
Well, that's coming your way, and later on, Yikem to Sue, so don't go anywhere.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superherodend.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superherodend.com.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army engaged.
Don't forget, you can get all your Beer Army swag online at beerarmy.org. We have these awesome new trucker hats, and these things, at least at the Outpost, are flying off the shelves.
Yeah, no, you definitely want to get your hands on them soon. I know that we do have a couple of new baseball caps. It's the same one, different color variations, though.
Oh, right. The fitted one.
That reminds me, as I say that, note to self, find out when the hell those things are hitting the shelves, because they're badass. So definitely looking forward to that.
Well, it's awesome, man. These hats, a lot of people, every time I wear one out and about, they're loving them. And we have those new, for the ladies out there, those beer ladies. The new Hoppo t-shirts.
Oh, the Hoppo shirts. Well, we got the guy version, too, where it's got the Hoppo on the front or whatever. And
cool.
Matter of fact, I was listening to, Beer Army Soldier Matt giving his wife, Christy, a hard time saying she wants the shirt, but she doesn't really like IPAs. He's like, so you can't call yourself a Hoppo. So we're kicking around ideas. We need the Malto or version or something like that. And then, of course, we got wearyourbeer.com and Movie Depot.
TV Movie Depot, wearyourbeer.com,
and then superherodend.com, and use the promo code BeerArmy, get 20% off your order. So definitely check those out too. And they got lots of good stuff. But yeah, I'm really excited about this segment's always my favorite part. And
It's the meat and potatoes. It's the heart of the program.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's time for our Heroes Never Die segment, because in this screwed up world, when a situation can change on a dime, you don't know who's going to step up and who's going to be the one to step in the gap.
Victory! I know last week we talked about some firefighters.
Yeah.
This story is aged. It's a couple months old. Usually we like to have something that's really relevant within the last week or so. However, the video is so dang good as far as showing what firefighters must have to go through. You know, and when I compare that to being a military guy, you know, there's confusion, there's chaos, and you have to, you know, make decisions based upon limited information. And this video is amazing. So I just want to cue it up here, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. But
can you set it up a little bit?
Yeah. So basically, this is in Fresno, California, and we got four Fresno firefighters responding to an apartment fire. You know, so they're walking in on the scene. That's all they know. You know, and I've talked to other firefighters in the past where you get a call, you don't know. You're showing up and you're trying to get information as you're getting to the call, because the more information you have, the better situational awareness you have on the scene. Sometimes it could be a cat in a tree, you know, so you're like, okay, your blood's not, you know, but sometimes it's like, hey, we got a fire in an apartment complex. Okay, is it a barbecue fire that got out of control, or is this a, you know, burning inferno, you know?
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but are the entrances to the apartments interior or exterior?
Yeah, so it's all exterior apartments, one-story apartments, like, you know, kind of like a row apartments and kind of like a flat type area. So it's not like high rise or anything like that. But
it's not where you walk in and all the entrances are inside and corridors.
Yeah, and all the entrances are the outside. So, all right, cool. But there's no corridors or whatever. But just give a listen here as they're walking in on a scene trying to get some SA.
Who's in there? Communication Engine 3. We just got reports that we have a child inside. We're going to be going into rescue mode and passive command. Possible kid inside, guys. A kid inside. Where is she? How old is she, ma'am?
We got three kids inside.
So he's walking up. You're hearing that thumping. That's all their freaking gear and equipment, you know, the tanks and everything else. And it's just that thumping in the helmet. So as he's coming up, he hears he's got one kid. And he's passing command, because usually they set up a command post, the fire department, just like police departments will if they got a big situation go on, EMS type situation. And he's trying to get situational awareness. What's going on? Who's where? You know, who's already, you know, responding? Who, you know, because he might already have firefighters in the building too. That's another thing too. You know, you don't want to have too much when you have other fires going on. You have to respond to. And then all of a sudden it cuts where he says, okay, hey guys, we got three. You see him taking off helmets. You see him, you know, putting on their fire retardant hoods, probably putting on masks. You're getting that sense, because you can kind of hear the muffled sound of his voice, and they're getting ready to go into this building. And what just blows me away is what you're going to hear next. Well, it's not so much what you hear. It's what you see. Actually, what you don't see, because it is black. Wow. It is pitch black. You can't see a damn thing. And just give a listen.
Three kids in the back.
He's saying three kids in the back.
Sure, we need ventilation. In the back bedroom to the left.
Man.
And you hear the fire alarms.
Yeah.
You're trying to talk through a, you know, respirator.
What?
You literally can't see anything. You see a small electrical fire burning. I mean, the flames. You don't
I'm
see
coming.
It. Jeez.
This one's clear.
And they're trying
not
to...
Here, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Yeah, let me hit there. There's one. Red one here. Yep. I got
so he's got one kid and he's trying to get out.
Yeah,
now.
Where are you heading now? Yeah, yeah. Where? I got one. Where are you? Where are the other ones, guys?
And he's telling him to get the other ones. And now he's just trying to get out of the building because it's so pitch black. You can't.
I got something.
I can only imagine.
I got a kid.
And right there, he finally breaks, you know, the door. He's got daylight and he's just trying to get to a grassy part so they can start, you know. Resuscitate and everything because the kids were knocked out from the toxic fumes and everything. And
people have to click on watch this video.
Yeah, it's well, there's a cut version or the news, and right. We didn't like that version because I thought they did a crappy job of it. And then if you scroll down, you'll see this uncut version from the Fresno Fire Department. And thanks to the Fresno Fire Department for showing that. I know sometimes, you know, people don't want to release raw video because somebody maybe wasn't doing something the correct way or whatever. What I love about it, though, is it captures the true essence of the chaotic environment that you're going to be thrown into and, you know, with limited information and you're expected to act. You better step the hell up because somebody's freaking life's on the line right now. And of course, if you screw up, not only are their lives, you could possibly kill yourself and those around you of your team, fellow firefighters, if you're getting this wrong. You know, if you get stuck in a building in a burning inferno. I mean, this is one that isn't a burning inferno as much as it's smoke inferno, whereas last week we featured how much, you know, that how that just turned into a firebox, a tinderbox. But, yeah, it's just, you know, smoke is just barreling out of this burning apartment, and the mother's screaming for her children. You're dealing with that, and you're just trying to, like, ma'am, where are the, you know, how many kids?
Not only with the lack of visibility, but just the heat.
Yeah.
And those firefighters, they have to be, and I couldn't say exactly what total weight with all that gear, their fire retardant gear, and then their tanks, their helmet. They have to be packing on and carrying another 60, 70 pounds.
Oh, easily, I would think. Yeah, I would say... And if you got an axe and, you know, whatever else, I don't know. I would definitely agree with you. Definitely 60, 80 pounds. I think they call it their bunker gear or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
There can't be a lot of freedom of movement.
No, definitely. And so one of those four, I don't have all the names, but one of them was Captain Christian Palmer and his team. And that's what this video is showing them making their way into the building, doing the saves and getting them out. But, you know, Fire Chief Carrie Donis, you know, she said that, you know, if you ask them, they're going to tell you that they don't think they're heroes. They'll never admit it. You know, but good on her to make sure they don't get away with it and that she's saying, yeah, they are heroes. Because they are.
Yeah,
you know, these guys sure as hell ain't making shitloads of money. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like, hey, let me play, you know, Russian roulette because it's cool. It's fun. Nah, you do it because you have, I think a lot of people that do public service, they want to do something selfless and be a part of something bigger than themselves. And when you do that and it means putting your life on the line, I just think that's just so admirable. And it just, I'm still just blown away by this video. I definitely recommend it. Again, it's not so much what you see as what you hear, but seeing some of the blackness and just seeing the limited visibility, visibility.
It forces you to actually, with your lack of visual reference, it puts you into with just hearing the audio and knowing that what you're seeing is just what that firefighter is seeing or isn't seeing. Is just as powerful as any a video explaining it.
In the edited video, where they're interviewing and then a Fresno fire captain, Christian Palmer, he talks about you. All of a sudden you hear there's kids, and then you start thinking about your own kids.
Hmm.
And that's where you start feeling you have a personal relationship there then, and you know that personal responsibility, like, I got to save these kids. And that's got to be, you know, I mean, holy smokes. I mean, that's just...
No, good on them. That's this is powerful. And you can link to this video right there, beerarmy.org. Definitely check it out. And it's interesting, you bring this up, and I've been really caught up in watching the TV show Chicago Fire.
Oh, yeah?
On I believe that's NBC.
I don't know. I don't get a chance to watch a lot of TV, but...
I've never done firefighting.
Yeah. I've done some fire starting as an adolescent.
I know of some firefighters, but I've never really talked to them about it. But this show really boils down to the human condition and that brotherhood and that camaraderie in a firehouse, but as well the integrity and the fortitude. And I think it's really well done. I may or may not have any basis for that, being as I'm not a firefighter.
Yeah.
Don't really know the inner workings and ins and outs of it. But if there are any firefighters out there that have seen this show and want to chime off on it, definitely shoot us an email or you can post comments on Beer Army Foundation.
Yeah, or send email to radio@beerarmy.org.
Yeah.
You know,
but I'm curious, but I highly recommend checking out that show. It's really, as far as that military brotherhood, which we're familiar with,
right.
This is a show that captures that.
Mm-hmm.
But as well, that integrity, that fortitude, that courage, and that you never know who's going to display it. And it can be a different person each and every day.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate the, our local police and firefighters and EMS type personnel that do this, because you never know when you're going to need them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, thank God they're there.
Yeah.
So, shout out again to the Fresno Fire Department, Christian Palmer and his team of other three unnamed individuals. We appreciate you stepping up and making sure three children didn't become a statistic.
And putting out that unedited video.
Yeah, that too. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thanks for sharing that. Stick around. We still have our Yikem to Sue. Bring a little levity to the program. Levity is the word.
Yeah, no, I got a weatherman that couldn't figure out why his suit felt so tight.
Okay.
Live on air.
I have probably one of the most awkward and disturbing answers on Jeopardy,
yeah,
the TV show,
yeah,
the game show, and there's plenty of other insanity, but this stuff, we can't make it up, and we're going to expose it here coming up, so keep it locked on Beer Army Engaged. Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com, get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy, wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
I'm ready to laugh. You ready to laugh, Dustin?
I'm ready.
Or General. What do you want to go by today?
I don't know.
What mood are you in?
I don't know.
Not feeling so generally today.
I would feel better if I knew I had another bottle of Pliny the Elder.
I know. It's sad to see this.
This is the only one we have, so I'm kind of depressed a little bit.
It's a good beer.
It is. It's a very good beer. I love how the lacing goes all the way down the damn glass.
Mm.
And to me, that's always a telltale sign of a good beer.
Pliny the Elder.
Yes. I need more.
Mm. A gentleman and a scholar. Nice. Well, let's have some fun here. Because in this screwed up world, there's just stuff you can't believe actually happens. And you can't make this shit up, though. So let's yick him to Sue.
You know, Mick, I have to ask you. I know you don't have children,
no.
But have you ever put your clothes on and you're like, what the hell is that?
No.
Like, I have like...
I've put clothes on in a pocket, twisted around,
right.
And I'm like, what? Wait. And then I get excited and then I'll reach in and hope it's money. And I'd be like, nah, just the pocket got folded and twisted.
No, I've gotten everything from dryer sheets in my pockets to... a couple of the kids' socks. I mean, just crazy crap that somehow worked its way in. And I'm like, oh, okay. But in this situation, we have a TV weather reporter.
Yeah.
And give it a listen.
The chill is letting up, but the chill is not completely gone.
No.
I'm sorry.
And the chill has got a kink in your neck, huh?
You got a...
never mind, forget it. I thought it was just the tight button, but never mind. Can we just go to the weather and get it over?
What the heck was that?
He had a freaking coat hanger in his jacket.
What?
And his two co-anchors are sitting
there.
And
he thought it was just the button making the suit tight?
He thought it felt tight, and then he starts reaching back, and the other anchor's like, you got a kink in your neck or something? And he pulls out a freaking, no kidding, clothes hanger. How the hell do you put your blazer, your blouse of your suit on and the hanger's still on, and you don't feel that across your back. I mean,
it's
your
not
shoulder
like
blades.
They're putting on a musical and there's multiple wardrobe changes that happen to have to happen quickly off camera. You know, I wore one suit blazer for my extended forecast presentation where I'm standing in front of the green screen, but then I wanted a different blazer when I had to transition to sit at the desk for the end of the newscast.
Dude, I don't get it, man. What I do get, though, is this is out of Fox 9 in Minnesota. What I do get is when the female co-anchor goes, oh, no, like the whole... Fargo and Dakota, in North Dakota type. You know, she has the heavy accent, man. It's like, oh, you betcha. You know, it's just, it's like a Wisconsin type thing.
Oh, you got the hanger, don't you know?
But, yeah, I don't know, man. Wow. I was just like, oh, wow, a coat hanger. I could see, like I said, a dryer sheet, maybe a sock in the pocket, but a coat hanger? I don't get it.
No, this guy is uncomfortable most of the time. And he just realized, I'm a little more uncomfortable than I usually am. Maybe there's a reason. Oh, it's a hanger.
A hanger in my jacket.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe that guy needs to get himself checked. Maybe he has, like, diabetic nerve damage.
Something. I don't know.
If you have diabetes and I offended you, deal with it. Oh, man. Sticking with television. Sticking with television. Have you ever watched Jeopardy and you got awkwardly uncomfortable?
I've watched Jeopardy where I've seen, where it's like, what? You know, I mean, I don't know.
Seriously?
About uncomfortable.
I've never watched Jeopardy and got awkwardly uncomfortable.
Oh, you mean from watching it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't say I've never got.
Well, prepare yourself because there's a first for everything.
Okay.
This has got to be one of the most disturbing and awkward answers I've ever heard come from the game show Jeopardy. Oh.
In life for 400, please.
In common law, the age of this signaling adulthood is presumed to be 14 in boys and 12 in girls. Tom?
What is the age of consent?
No. Carrie?
What is majority?
No. What is puberty? Puberty.
Let me give that question out again.
12
and
girls. 12 and girls.
In common law, the age of this signaling adulthood is presumed to be 14 in boys and 12 in girls. This guy answers age of consent.
Dude, I don't know, man.
And he probably, I'm hoping this guy is not some pervert pedophile. I'm not saying he is, but with an answer like that, and with social media and the internet, this guy's going to be labeled one. Because when you hear 12-year-old girl and you throw age of consent in the mix, thinking that it's common law, signaling adulthood, I'm sorry, you are a disturbed individual.
Well, I tell you, man, nothing disturbs, well, this doesn't disturb me as much, our next story here.
You want to get away from this as quickly as possible.
I do, because it does make me feel uncomfortable.
Seriously.
I don't want to talk about little boys and little girls and about puberty and age of consent all in the same sentence.
I feel violated by Jeopardy or this guy's appearance on Jeopardy.
I am gonna take a shower before I leave the studio.
Good Lord. Seriously, man, we should have like an eyewash station in here.
Earwash station.
Yeah. Careful, hazardous material exposed on Beer Army Engaged.
But in Berlin, I love Germany. Not just because of the beer, but and Belgium too, for their forward thinking, I guess. But there is a brothel in Berlin, because in a lot of countries, prostitution's legal.
You know, they
don't have the same hang-ups like we do here in the States, but they are seeking a university-educated, multilingual, quality control tester to check their employees and ensure their establishment offers a quality service, high standards of cleanliness, and safe sex practices, as well as value for your money.
Just for one brothel?
No, well, it turns out that the job specification, it's featured on Kaufmeech, I think is a German word, but which means purchase me. It's a social networking site for sex workers. And so they're looking for a candidate or candidates with a degree in business, practical experience of brothels, an ability to speak French, and carry a full health certificate. The job spec also says you should enjoy having fun with people and you should not be afraid of contact. So basically, you are a pecker checker and a...
Well, you are the pecker.
Well, I don't know. You could be all of it. You know,
just a gigolo it seems everywhere like, I go.
Again, they're, it's a man or a woman suitable for the role, you know, with an international company, which apparently boasts more than 120 employees who work in Germany, Spain, and China. And... I don't know. This website was founded in 2009 by a German entrepreneur and his two brothers, and they're worth millions, and they've made their fortune with internet startups, and I guess they feel like there's a need to maybe provide, I guess it's Yelp? for the prostitution or for the brothel, you know, business. I don't know. I mean, I just like...
It might just be yell.com.
I just thought that this was like, okay, this must be made up. Like, I thought this has to be satire in some way, but it turns out that no, it's, you can have a job basically testing the merchandise.
These guys are going to get into the online brothel review start establishing companies. They should call them internet hard-ups. Something.
Instead of startups.
Sorry, but you're really killing the mood when you have to flash your, you know, health card before doing the deed.
I got to the final phase of the hiring process, but I failed my health inspection. I couldn't get a certificate.
If it's anything like a health inspections for restaurants, you know, in your grade here in the States, you know, and how you can pad those things. It is like, you got an A, but actually you really only got a B, but because you had these certifications.
The thing I thought was...
You actually got a health grade of an A. So could I hope the sex working field doesn't have that same application.
Well, you have a degree in multilingual interpersonal skills, so that gives you 10 points on your health card.
But
although you may have gonorrhea, those 10 points of your interpersonal skills negate it, because you could probably talk yourself out of that burning sensation in your crotch.
The thing that I didn't understand, though, is that it's a German brothel. This company has businesses or whatever. They listed China and they listed Spain. But the requirement is the ability to speak French. I don't get it. Is that like the universal love of brothels and prostitutes? I don't think so. You know, it's like nothing against French people or anything or French speaking. It's like, why don't you have to be multilingual, I guess, as far as speak a bunch of different languages?
But maybe there's a lot of...
But they speak out, they call out French. 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 You have to call...
There's a lot of French expats that love to, get involved with an internet hard up. We don't live in France no more, but we get our penises wet in China and Spain for the lovely Latin ladies and Asian porcelain dolls.
I was going to say Latin ladies in China.
Well, they know the Asian porcelain dolls that get their eyes made wide and look like little dolls are creepy weird.
Hey, they did it to improve the prostitution industry by providing a free market for independent sex workers. So, you know, good on them. You know, they're trying to improve the community.
Well, I think the word independent sex worker is much better than dependent sex worker.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Wow, weird stuff, man.
It's always. I don't get it. I don't get it sometimes.
Well,
from Jeopardy to QC Pecker Checkers. I don't know, man. It's like,
oh God, International Pecker Checker.
Yeah. Well,
and want that on your business card? You got an opportunity.
I was trying to think of a good term for vag slang, you know, but you know, it doesn't rhyme with checker.
Hot pocket.
Oh my gosh.
That'll do it for Beer Army Engage. Nice way to wrap it up there, Dustin.
Always.
The back catalog available online, beerarmy.org. You can link to all the former podcasts. Don't forget we're on podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. You can link to it through a Patreon, where you can become a super soldier. Help us do great things on the foundation side, the 501c3 charity that is Beer Army Foundation.
And I just want to remind people that you bring up a good point. We say, on iTunes, rate us.
Rate and review, yeah. That way, the more you rate and review, the more likely it's going to be a suggestion for people going on iTunes looking for beer-related podcasts.
Definitely.
So have a great week, all right? And we'll catch you 7 days from today.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.